We got a lot of stuff on the Dolphins we'll be getting to this morning on OTAs. And I want to say one thing off everything, and I'm not at practices, obviously, being out here with my father for a little while. But this leadership thing, and again, I know our writers, they got jobs to do. I do, and I got to start because, you know, there's not a lot. They're trying to get creative stories and give you stuff that diehard Dolphin fans from all over the country, hell, all over the world. There's fan clubs overseas as well. I mean, they want to get updates. They want to know how their team's doing, how their young guys are doing, and who's this and who's that. And now we're hitting leadership. We just get to OTAs, and the message yesterday and the day before is calm down a little bit on who's hot and who's not and who looked great and who didn't. It's a learning. The coach nicely put it. He really did. Coach Hafley just nicely to everybody said, hey, man, we put in a new offense, a new defense. We're kind of going through everything. Everybody's learning where to line up and how they're going to get used and what we want to do. It's all brand new to everybody. And I get it. Everybody wants to know because this is going to be the team. At some point, we're going to find 53 guys out of this group. And the second part is this leadership thing. And I get it, man. We, you know, and I hit the old school thing yesterday. And, you know, and it does. Being late is not cool. Not cool. And I get young people, oh, man, what's, like, if I'm there right on time or a few seconds late, what's the big deal? And, you know, come on, man, I was really close to being on time. Or, hey, man, just fine me because I'm making a lot of money. Just take the money out because I don't feel like going to this certain meeting, the special teams meeting in the morning. Because, dude, I'm a starter and I'm not going to be on that team. Or, hey, man, I'm really good. I don't think I need to be there. As long as I'm there for practice, but I miss a meeting or two. I mean, it really doesn't matter, man. The thing that really matters is the game and that I know what I'm supposed to do, and I'll make sure I do enough during the week. I mean, you know, I just, again, and I played it a different time, and I get some things have changed a little bit, but there are just certain things through life that don't change, like being on time. If the few rules, I don't think teams and professional sports hit you with a zillion rules now. They simplify it. I don't think they have a meet all day and all night. They understand comprehension for guys. Guys, you're going to lose them after a while. I think everybody understands all that stuff in today's, you know, you're not going to stay in meetings till 10:30 at night like we did, where guys are falling asleep and then you go and you got curfew 20 minutes later, and then you're up early in the morning and you're at it again. I get you just can't get a lot out of that long a day with guys in any sport. And they don't want a ton of rules, man. You can't overdose them on certain rules. I'm with you, man. We had too many. Yes, we did. But there are certain things. And the leadership thing, I got to finally get to that this morning because everybody, hey, who's your leaders right now? And again, Omar hit me with leadership. And where's the leadership? I said, Omar, leadership? Every guy in that team's trying to figure out how they're going to be used, what their new coach expects, how to learn the new system, and how they fit in. You think they're thinking about leadership right now in OTAs? Seriously. So this thing... And again, Coach Hafley did, for a first-time head coach, did an unbelievable job. Like, I was thinking about this last night and driving in this morning. Like, leadership, you know, because we bring up leadership. Oh, it's lack of leadership. And it's got to be coming from your best players. It's got to be coming from this guy and that guy. Look at, man, we've had everything possible around here. We had leadership boards last year. We did. We had a ton of guys. Honestly, it was a joke. Some of the guys shouldn't even been on there or taken off once they weren't playing well. And you're putting guys up there basically that had no right if it's about leadership. And I get it. You're trying to pamper guys and Mike's way of doing things, which I wasn't a big fan of, knowing the school I come from and the school he comes from. Being cool and being one of the guys, it doesn't work, in my opinion. Doesn't work. And I'm not taking his offensive mind away and some of the things he did. And that's why, you know, a whole bunch of teams wanted him to be an offensive coordinator. And maybe somebody was getting ready to hire him as a head coach. I don't know. I don't know. But we owed him a lot of money. He's making as much money as his head coach is out there being an offensive coordinator. And he's in a great position to set himself up to be a head coach again sometime here soon. But Halfley said it so well yesterday. Like, I'm the leader right now of the friggin' team. Like, they're watching me before they decide who's going to be in on this thing and not. They're checking me out to see how I do things. They're checking me out to see if I know what the hell I'm doing and how I work and how much of this Green Bay thing. A lot of our guys have probably called guys from Green Bay to find out, you know, what was this dude like. And because, hey, man, that's what guys do. You know, league, a lot of people know each other. A lot of guys play college football together. Hey, man, what's the deal with this Halfley guy? So right now he is the leader of the freaking team. There can't be another leader. And by the way, you got a couple guys that are leaders that probably two of your top leaders that had great years, like Pro Bowl, All Pro years, that want to get paid. So they're in a little bit of an awkward situation right now, if you're looking. And I tried to tell Omar yesterday, like, who's going to be the leader of this? And I said, man, you got five or six guys that are really good leaders. They're the best leaders actually on the team last year, and they're on the team now. They're the best. The best of what they do. The center, the middle linebacker, your defensive tackle slash in, Zach Sealer. Nobody runs this group like he does with that young defensive line. There are some guys that don't want to be leaders, man. They just want to be great players. They don't want to be left alone. They do. And some guys aren't capable of it that put up big numbers because of they break so many friggin' rules. You know where I'm going on that one. So I thought Halfley said it well. Like, who's your leader? You know, he's been here like two practices. The guy's been together. Who's your leaders on this team? Like, well, I'm the leader of this team right now. I'm the head coach. I'm setting the rules and regulations. These guys are checking me out, especially guys who've been around here and knew what it was like before, which was a full-time rec room. Oh, bro, if you got something to do, your wife called you. Oh, she needs you to take out the dog because she's going to be gone all day. No, go home and take care of that. Right. And you could get out and, you know. And we went through it all. And I heard so many stories, and I didn't even use them. Wes Welker stuff, man. I didn't even use them. And you got rid of a really good wide receiver coach. And there was so much junk behind it. And I know Mike McDaniel disagreed when the guys came out and said, hey, Joe Rose said that, you know, Tyree got him fired. Oh, no, I could see where people would think that, but that wasn't the case. Okay. The leadership comes from the top, man. The leadership comes from the top. And listen, you do, as this thing gets put together and everybody sits into their role and you see guys making plays and you see how guys are and young guys looking up to guys that have been around a little bit and take those roles. And sometimes young guys come in and you go, damn, that dude, Zach Thomas, that cat's a leader, man. Like, he's only been here for a cup of coffee. Zach, what are we doing here, bro? What are you doing that makes it work? So, but in time, that will all take care of itself, man. And you do have some leaders on this team. Like, they're the best leaders last year. The best leaders on this team, which at times looked like it was going to blow up. I mean, crushing coming out at half, tight ball games, and just get pounded in the third quarter where the game's over. Crushing to bad teams. Cleveland loss was a disaster. And then a couple nationally televised games on Thursday night, Monday night were terrible. You know, guys started getting fired and benched, and it was a crap show. No question about it. But the leadership thing, we don't need 20 guys well, we have my leadership council, and they were tired, and so they said, we need to cut back a little bit on our practice. We did that one time. We did that. I've told the story about the dead leg, bad end of November going into December, and we got a whole bunch of tired guys. And Dwight Stevenson, who not only is one of the great leaders, but was the captain of the team, he was also the best player, maybe the best player in the game. And you're going, wait a sec, Joe, Marino's on. You heard what I said? Yeah, Marino's like one of the greatest players too. They're both on that top 100 all-time list. So Dwight, like a good captain, everybody's going, dude, we guys are tired, man. This guy doesn't let up. We lost a couple of games. We had a good record, but we were losing. And guys are going, dude, we're just tired, man. The guy doesn't cut back on practice. It's late in the year. We went through that long. We did the same stuff that these guys do. Same stuff. Of course, we were going out and hitting it hard and working hard, playing hard. And she was like, hey, you stay out all you want, but our ass is going to work while you're chasing little Susie and her girlfriend around all night in Fort Lauderdale clubs. But we want you to know that I'm going to work your ass off like it's the start of camp. So you decide. And, you know, we didn't change. Had fun. Rocking and rolling is the only professional team in town in all of South Florida. And we're having a good time. So Dwight goes in like a good captain. Hey, coach, you got to say, what's going on, Dwight? So, you know, shoes kept. You know, we stay busy, man. We didn't take long lunch breaks. We didn't have a rest break. This man got business done and sent you home. And he said, well, guys are tired. They got tired legs. He goes, really? He said, who's complaining? So Shoes hit him with that first. And Dwight, being one of the great leaders, said, no, coach, I can't do that. Just a bunch of guys. I would never do that. You wouldn't really expect me to say that, but I just wanted to pass a message along that as a captain, you made me a captain and the players. And this guy's dominating. Nobody dominated a position like Dwight Stevenson. And he goes, pass along this message. And Dwight could see he was pissed off. You tell him to stay out of clubs and the way for them to get their legs rested up after practice, go home, watch film, study your playbook, stay with your family, and stay out of the clubs, and get to bed earlier. And so here comes Dwight out. We're all waiting. We got a few minutes before going back in a meeting. And, like, first of all, you know, we're all going, and I was one of them, like, you didn't say any names, did you? He goes, no, I didn't say any names, man, but he let me have it. He wasn't happy. Wasn't happy, but you went in. He goes, hey. And so he told us the same thing I just told you. There was no, you know, the player's going to take over the team. And Halfley's not going to let that happen. He's setting a tone right now for how things are going to be. The only leadership he needs right now, when all our writers are going, who's going to be your leaders, man? In 2 days at OTAs, with this young friggin' team and all these guys gone, and the ones that were here got half poisoned a year ago. I loved it. I'll tell you, the more half talks, the more I want to go give him a big kiss in the morning. I'm the leader. I'm setting it right now. As things go on, we'll get captains, but we're going to kind of see how we do in my system and the things. And by the way, don't think they're not checking him out from young guys, and they're comparing to what they just came from in college, or guys that have been around the league that just coming over from Dallas or coming from the Rams and coming from some good coaches and some good systems, some teams that just guys who were on bad teams, great teams. They're all kind of checking half out right now. I would. So he's setting a tone. He's the leader of this group right now is my message here early in the morning for the leadership thing. You know the old topic, Woody, when things get down a little bit and they're going, where's the leadership? The Cavs blow a 22-point lead. Who's this on? Well, this guy didn't play well. And then they go, hey, man, what about the coach? Didn't call a timeout, wasn't ready, waited till like the lead was basically back. They had lost the whole thing. Then he calls the timeout and all these things, man. Leadership, man, from the top. Great answer yesterday from half or the day before. Leadership starts with me, man. That's where the leadership is right now. And that was for the players, not just for us to hear. That was for like, hey, man, I know you guys want to see what it's going to look like and what to expect when we get into this and we get down the roster and we go through some tough times and some good times and some growing pains. You guys are kind of checking out how I'm going to do things. So you're getting a little taste of it the way we work right now with OTAs and mini camps. Anyway, we got to go to break. Got to go to break this morning here, man. Yeah, a little too early. A little too early to find out who the leaders are going to be. But we had some good ones last year, and I'm guessing a lot of those guys will be the leaders this year, especially if your center, your middle linebacker, and your defensive tackle are all back. Those are the three leaders of this friggin' team. No, don't throw anybody else in there. It was those three guys. Those were the three dogs on the team that were great with young guys, led by great play, coached up guys when they needed it, put their arm around dudes when they needed it, told them keep their head up. It was those three guys, and they're all back.
I think he's done a really nice job. It's early. We've had one practice, right? We've been in meeting rooms, we've been in walkthroughs, and we've been doing individual. My main focus for him right now is to learn the scheme, get to know the players, and not overdo the whole leadership thing. I mean, I think that's my job and our job right now. So he can focus on becoming the best quarterback and the best player and the best teammate he can be. Don't worry about the other stuff right now. And that's been my message to him. So he doesn't have to worry about all that. And I think that's really important as we get started.
I've got a question and a follow-up about Devon Achan. Are we going to see him out of practice today?
Yeah, he'll be out of practice.
And getting him to agree to terms, do you think that sends a message to Aaron Brewer and Jordan Brooks about their potential extensions?
Yeah, I'm not sure. I think that's a better question for them than it is for me, and I don't want to speculate on that. I think it sends a good message when you have a player who was here on his first contract and has produced and had success to reward that player with a second contract. And I know that's important to Sully and I.
Dolphins head coach Jeff Hafley after OTAs. It's time to head out to the Toyota of Hollywood Hotline. Shop over 2,000 Toyotas on sale, one location. Toyota of Hollywood on 441 between Hollywood and Sheridan. ToyotaofHollywood.com, Joe.
All right, Woody, thank you so much. And Omar Kelly joins us, playing off that question right there. And you're right, Devon Achan. Has he been injured, by the way? I know we got to be real sensitive about the injury stuff. Has he been a little nicked up? Did he have something done, or what's been going on with him?
Absolutely. He is injured. He was doing a rehab assignment. Be honest with you, he looks a little heavier than I'm used to seeing Devon. Supposedly he has been in the building. They claim he's been in the building. Not only Hafley has said that, but the quarterback Malik Willis said that. And so it's an injury that he's rehabbing. We don't know exactly what is the specific injury,
right?
But remember, he missed the end of the season with a shoulder issue. So maybe he had the shoulder cleaned up. I'm not 100% sure.
Yeah. It's okay. It's just everybody, you know, you got to be careful. And then I play doctor, and then people get upset that mm-hmm. I'm trying to guess what the injury is. Hey, I got to tell you, man, Jordan Brooks, that guy's all class, man. He's still showing up, coming off a great year. How does this thing stand with Brewer and Brooks right now? Do you think in June they've been told they're going to get a deal done, or they're going to try to get a deal done, or what happens here? A middle linebacker and center, and both guys coming off really good seasons.
Absolutely. They've been told by John Eric Sullivan that we're going to try to take care of you, but you know, we're going to do this in order. They said Devon Achan was first in line. I'm surprised that the Devon Achan deal did get done as early as it did. He got a pretty good deal. The deal has not been signed yet, and I don't know when it's going to be signed, considering, truthfully speaking, they don't really have the cap space to dole out the extension, because they've got, I think, like $1.4 million in cap space right now, and that's after borrowing and even borrowing from Devon's deal.
Yeah.
So it might have to wait till June 1st for him to officially sign it. But, you know, to have agreed upon terms and to have worked that out and just have to wait, that's wonderful. But with Brooks and Brewer, those are situations that, you know, it's a little bit different than Achan, because Achan hadn't been properly compensated in his NFL career. As a third round pick, you know, you get your signing bonus and then you get some minimum salaries this year. Brewer and Brooks, they're on their second deal. So both of them are making respectable money. The question is, are they being compensated what they should be making based on their production and talent level? And you know, sometimes those conversations take some time, but for what people need to understand is, when you're a certain level of player, certain stature of player, you don't go and play a season without more guaranteed money on future years, because you can't play with the risk of injury. So that's really what it's about.
So I got to ask you,
agreeing to an amount per year for that extension.
The guy I'm a little bit worried about, and Austin Jackson is not practicing. I'm guessing again. I'm doing a doctor special, playing doctor.
Oh yes, you are.
Mm-hmm. Toe. We think it's Austin Jackson's toe.
You never know. You never know. Yeah. Until you get an opportunity to talk to the player, you never know. And they are very selective on who we get to talk to.
No, I get it. I get it. But man, we're really counting on him. I was.
Are you? Really? Because, yeah. I mean, I think you can put your first round pick at right tackle if things don't pan out the way that you want, and keep it moving and have him play the position that he wants to play, that you really drafted him to play, and then figure it out at left guard. So I'm not really worried about Austin Jackson. I like Austin Jackson as a player. He clearly restructured his contract so he could stay here. And we know the issue has been his health. So hopefully we don't have a situation where this is, hopefully we address this now, and we don't have a situation where this is going to continue to pop up on us every couple of months. I know last year he got his foot stepped on and basically broken and in training camp and a toe. And, you know, that's not necessarily his fault. He tried to come back.
Oh, no, injury is nobody's fault. No, I agree. I'm not blaming anybody. When guys get injured, it's going to happen. Yeah. Nobody gets injured on purpose. You know, it's just that we're talking about these tackle positions and trying to get this thing figured out. It would just be nice to see Austin get 15, 16, 17 games in this year and see what we have. You know, it's a contract year for him to get paid while he's still young one more time as well. All right. So let's move on to Malik Willis. I can't wait to get home to see him throw the football. What'd you think? How's it look coming out?
It looks good coming out. And that's all I really watched yesterday, Joe, you know that. He throws a little sidearm, which surprises me. It's not sidearm all the time, but I would say it's probably sidearm about 70% of the time. He threw deep passes. You know how you watch guys throw deep passes, and you know most quarterbacks got a little wobble to it, to the little deep pass. You know, it goes a little shaky sometimes.
Yeah, the guy we've had. Yeah.
Stop, Joe. Quinn Ewers threw it too. Great. Quinn Ewers threw.
Yeah, no, we've had a lot of guys. We had a lot of guys back there throw a little wobbly. Go ahead, but I'll let you finish. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to do that.
Yeah. You mean to take a shot at Tua, guys?
No, I didn't say that. I didn't even bring him up.
Oh, okay. No, you brought him up. You brought him up. You said it. You said his name.
So how's Malik Willis's passes look down there? Go ahead.
The projection, no wobble. No wobble. Threw a 15-yard out. Got there on a rope. He throws those big boy passes. We really didn't get a chance to see his athleticism because this is really just 7-on-7s in pajamas. So he's not scrambling around and doing all that kind of wild stuff. But I think this is the important part where we learn, or he masters being a pocket passer. There were a lot of check down passes, a lot of passes to tight ends, but that was just the nature of the day. And it wasn't just him. So, you know, and honestly, this is the second week. It's going to take a minute for an offensive installation to take hold. And I'm thinking, probably week five, week six of the season before you start to see them humming. But today, yesterday showed me there's a long road ahead for this team.
Well, I think we all know there's going to be a lot of growing pains between now and even into September, as I said early this morning. But I want to ask you about a couple guys. Caleb Douglas, third round pick, big receiver.
Yes.
How's he looked out there running around? What do you see?
I was impressed with what I saw movement wise in rookie camp. Didn't even notice him yesterday. Only time I noticed him was when he did bobble the pass from Malik Willis that the safety, Dante Trader Jr. picked off. That was probably one of the better plays, along with Kyle Lewis's interception that he took back for pick six. And that's the only time I even noticed him. I didn't notice him at all. And a lot of that is the rookies, with the exception of Caden Proctor, are pretty much relegated to second and back end of the roster. I can't tell you those things because I get myself in trouble. I get it. And pow. The rookies are being treated like rookies, and they're not thrown into the mix of, I always love that when you put a rookie on his level and you start to see whether or not they start to shine on that level. And then when they shine on that level, you move them up. I never liked the whole, let me just throw Jonah in there to the starting lineup and, he's going to get it together, because Jonah never earned a starting spot.
Okay, but you know how this thing works. The higher draft picks, you throw them in, especially if you're I don't have a problem with that. I want my top guys, like yesterday, Chris Johnson, go line up at cornerback position. It's your position. I just disagree with you on that. My top guys on the team that has not very much talent is my young draft picks are – they made it clear the first three rounds are going to be very important, and we expect more out of them. Line them up, man. Put them out there.
That is
you don't
true.
Like that, though. I know you don't like that.
I know. We've always had this argument and this disagreement on, draft picks and how you draft guys, and you should throw them in there and do, they're drafted that high for a reason, blah, 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 blah. Earn it. If you're that good, you should be shining against the twos and the threes. And then when you shine against the twos and the threes, you should get called up to the ones. I hate when young players get thrown into the deep end and then they drown. And then when they drown and you got nothing, you can't put them down to the twos, and you can't, you just got Jonah 7-I all season. You're just out there with somebody drowning all season. You got to put like double life jackets on them.
Yeah, no, I get you. You hope you get guys that get better, that when they fall down, they get back up and they get better, mentally tough guys that get better. That's the only reason. But this thing is, hey, man, this thing has got the talent on this team is going to be development of those young guys. That's going to be the upside.
Yeah,
it's not going to be your free agents that you got, veteran free agents. You got a pretty good idea what you got there.
I'm not saying they can't play.
Talent
on the team is going to be the development of everybody on the roster, because from quarterback to running, I think the only person you don't have to worry about the development is Jordan Brooks, Zach Sealer, and Devon Achane. Everybody else, they got to develop because they've done nothing. Patrick Paul still has to develop. Aaron Brewer still has to do it. Let's not act like last year wasn't a come up year for Aaron Brewer. It was. So I think this is unless they start adding veterans to the team, which I doubt they're going to do.
That's not going to happen. No, they're not bringing in 35-year-old guys that have 1 year left or 32-year-old guys.
Come on, Joe.
I exaggerated a little bit.
28. Like, I can honestly say, and I feel like I want to do this challenge. I can put together a unemployed team that's probably going to be better than the Dolphins team that's on this roster. There are that many unemployed players, from Deebo Samuels to Stephon Diggs. I know they're not going to sign Stephon Diggs. To Decker, Taiwan Decker, the offensive lineman. We could probably go find us some edge setters, some pass rushers, some defensive tackles. I put Christian Wilkins.
But you also know our situation. Before you do this make-believe world stuff, you know the situation we're in. So that's not going to happen. Those guys want to make some money, and they want to go. I'm guessing they want to go to a better situation.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And so that's just not – that's not going to happen. Russell
Douglas. Yeah, I'm just saying. Tell me how adding Russell Douglas to this team is going to hurt this team. It's not. But, I get it. What we're selling is – We're selling the future, young players, hope, promise, development. Okay, and that's cool and great, but it's going to look a little rough, especially early.
What do you think was going to? Of course, that you're right. Yeah, September could be, if you go with this group. Yeah, it's going to be a slow ride. I totally agree. I don't disagree with you,
September,
but I will
and
say
October.
That
over.
But the biggest upside is going to be your high draft picks. It's going to be the upside of by the end of the year, you're going to be looking at your young guys that you drafted, and we'll be talking about them most. Or we won't be talking about them. And by the way, maybe a couple guys from last year's draft. Kenneth Grant. Yes. Everybody's talking about Kenneth, about ready to make that big jump.
No, he ain't.
Defensive tackle.
No, he ain't.
You don't think so?
No.
You're a little down on this.
Everybody they tell you that Kenneth Grant's body is better. It ain't better.
What'd you do? Have him take his shirt off in front of you?
Man, I do this for a living, Joe.
Jeez. You body checking like, hey, you look, I don't know, man. You don't look like your upper body got bigger.
I saw him at the Dolphins Challenge, Joe. That was I'm not new to this. I know what it's supposed to look like. He looks like a nose tackle right now.
Yeah,
and that's not ideal. Jordan Phillips now, he looks great. Zeke Biggers, he looks great. Kenneth Grant, not so much.
What are you saying? He looks heavy?
Of course he looks heavy. Come on, Joe.
Well, I got news for you. If he's heavy coming in. In year two, that for a guy really hasn't done that much, that was our number one pick a year ago, and you decide to come in heavy with the new coaching staff, man, that you know what that tells me? Yeah, it's not a good sign. Right next to being late is coming in heavy.
Is tells me like you like to eat. So he's got.
I hope that's not the case, man. I hope he didn't come in like way overweight.
I don't think he's way overweight. I don't think he's, in an ideal world, he's less than 335, and he's not less than 335 right now. I know they want to hype him up and say all the nice things, and but sometimes the light bulb doesn't come on with these guys.
Well, they need him
year two.
They need him. They really need that number one pick from last year to step up and push some guys around this year and be active. That's all.
I'm still on the, why is Christian Wilkins not, why are you not trying to bring Christian Wilkins home? I know, it should be an option on the table. Reunite Salt and Pepper.
Do you know if he's healthy? First of all,
he's got to be healthy at this point.
I know, but you got to do your homework before you just decide to throw out a former first round pick.
His agent said he's healthy and he's going to explore his options. And, Christian's probably going to sign closer to camp. I don't know what is going on, Christian. But, why not come back to the place where you had a stellar, sparkly, clean reputation?
So you want to come back and play for the minimum?
No. We got more money than the minimum. Stop acting like we can't give out more than the minimum. When we get that.
Why is it we got this young team and you're sitting here trying to bring in a whole bunch of veterans like in their late 20s?
I didn't say a whole bunch.
That's what you've been talking about.
Okay. You telling me that if I sign Russell Douglas and Christian Wilkins for $4 million apiece, that it's not going to help you be a better football team?
Like yes, you are better with both those guys because they're veteran proven guys. Yes.
Isn't that the point? Shouldn't we be trying to do that?
I think their point is that they're looking for younger guys that they can develop that can be as good as those guys might be right now and would like to see those guys get to the level that those two are playing at right now. Not the Christian Wilkins we had, but the Christian Wilkins right now. And I'm guessing, I just say this, if they get into and this thing looks bad and they're going, holy smokes, none of these guys can play, then I think they try to grab some guys and do what you're talking about.
Yeah, but I don't want to grab guys after other teams have grabbed the actual guys. Don't grab people after the other teams have grabbed the actual guys. They need to be proactive about this. Like, okay, Juju Brent can do potentially what Rasul Douglas did last year.
He's got to stay healthy.
That guy got to stay healthy. When has he ever stayed healthy in his whole career?
Yes.
We've got a whole roster full of question marks, and that's with everybody healthy, Joe. Okay, so when injuries start to pile up.
I know, but this goes back to this whole thing that happened. This whole thing of dead money and why we're in this situation, and this is why they did it. They didn't do it to piss you off, or so you come on after one day of OTA and say we need to redo the whole friggin' team. Like, you don't like all these young guys. I mean, it sounds like you want a whole bunch of old veterans.
All right, who's your leader in your wide receiver room, Joe? Since we're going to do this, who's your leader in your wide receiver room? Nobody.
Malik Washington.
Who's your leader in your tight end room? Nobody. Who's your leader of your edge rushing room? Nobody. Who's your leader of your cornerback room? Nobody. Who's your leader of your secondary room? Safety room.
I don't know. We had a whole bunch of leaders. We had leaders, Ryan. We haven't won any playoff games, so.
Well, you're right. You're just throwing on the pile. We haven't won playoff games in 25
years. Well, I'd rather do it this way. I'd rather just start it over and get the guys you want in here and not bring in the guys you want because you like and have a good relationship with them. Well,
that's not what it is. See, I want you to apologize.
I caught myself.
You know,
I caught myself. Well, Christian, now that he's played it with the Raiders, he got a whole new list of guys, so he's probably fine with you now. Anyway.
You probably still hate me.
Omar, I'm going to have to let you go. I got to be honest, all man. Right. You seem a little down about the whole thing. Whatever you didn't see yesterday for first day of OTAs, you sound like you came away just shaking your head like on your way home. Everybody goes, what's wrong with Omar? And he goes, shaking my head. Not good.
Nah, it was all right. I just, you know.
I don't know what you expected to see for a bunch of – I literally this morning started by saying everybody's going to have – that goes out there and does this for a living – is going to have to be patient. Please don't overreact to drop balls, to weights of guys, to picks, the guy that intercepts, doesn't intercept, the guy that gets beat, guy that makes a bad throw.
I knew it wasn't going to be pretty, and it was fine.
All right.
But I just question, do you have enough veteran leadership on this team? And my answer to that is no.
If you keep your center – and you keep your defensive tackle that you have in Sealer, and you keep Brooks, you got pretty good core of young leaders. Those guys are really good. They were leaders last year.
I need more leaders than
the team. Okay. All right. Well, that leadership thing of like 12 guys didn't work out real well yesterday, if you want to go through that whole list. All right. Hey, Omar, I got to let you run, brother. I'm running really late.
Take care.
Thanks, Omar. You are too much, man. All right, we got to take a quick break. We're so far behind, Woody. I have to apologize to you. We'll be right back. Hey, I think we've tracked down Alan Poupart here, publisher of Miami Dolphins on SI and All Dolphins Podcast, formerly with Dolphin Digest, going back to the old school days. As I always say, been around the Miami Dolphins longer than anybody in the business, and has been doing it. And I think it's very fair. Does a great job on his podcast as well as articles on the team. One of the core of guys. And Alan joins us this morning. Alan, how you doing, brother?
I'm doing fine. How are you, Joe?
Man, I'm great. We got so much stuff to talk about. I want to start with the head coach, Jeff Hafley. I've had more people call me the last 24 to 48 hours on how impressive he's been with questions that you guys have asked him. What are your thoughts on what you've heard from first-time head coach in the NFL?
Oh, without question. I mean, it's really impressive. And I think part of it, too, though, we're going to be honest about it, is he follows a guy who wasn't exactly succinct and to the point in answering questions. And
that is part of it.
It was what it was. I mean, Mike was so deliberate in making sure that he got his thought precisely across the way he wanted it. And it was like a whole lot of stops and starts, a whole lot of I know when I was transcribing him after a press conference, it was like, oh, my word, what a nightmare.
Yeah.
And Hafley, by comparison, is very direct, makes his point very quickly, and which is good for us, basically, because in a 20-minute press conference, we'll wind up probably having twice as many questions. But not only that, from every standpoint, when he does TV interviews and all that, and you see the little video that the team put out with practice, everything right now just looks really, really, really impressive. What it's going to mean in September,
yeah,
who knows, but so far so good.
Yeah, I said the exact same things you just said this morning. So I want to say this, too. I love the leadership thing. And by the way, these are all fair questions, and he's talking about his quarterback, and I know I'm worried. Like, look, I'm the leader of the friggin' team right now. These guys want to see how I lead. They want to see what it's going to be like from their college coach or whatever NFL team they're coming from to join us, or for what they went through here the last year or two with the Miami Dolphins. He's right. He is the leader of the team. There's no teammates. He is the leader of the football team. And I think he's putting his system in, and they're watching to see what he wants done. But he's setting rules and regulations right now.
No, without question, and I'm old school, and this notion, like the past couple of years of, you know, it's a player-led team, yeah, how'd that work out?
No.
I'm sorry, but the guy's the head coach for a reason. If it's strictly to design game plans and delegate coaching assignments and prepare the practice plan, I'm sorry, but that's not all that it's that's involved in being a head coach. And yes, yeah, there has to be a boss and a man in charge, and that guy better be the head coach and not the players run the team. Sorry.
Yeah. I had my old tennis partner on here for a reason this morning. I love what you're saying. Hey, the other thing is, so Austin Jackson's injured. He's injured a lot. My first thought is, does Caden Proctor, do we skip the left guard and just put him at right tackle right now? Or do you think he gets work at both? Or is that too much for a rookie to have to be the left guard and the right tackle when a guy really probably needs to focus on one position? How are they treating it, and how would you treat it?
The way I would treat it is, what's the long-term plan for Caden Proctor? And they haven't necessarily told us that, nor should they, or nor will they. But if the plan is, as we all think it is, for him to play left guard this year, move to right tackle next year when Austin Jackson is no longer on the roster because of his financial situation and the fact he's injured way too often, why wouldn't you put him out there right now?
Yeah.
Get him started on the learning curve, because there is a learning curve. If the idea is to be as competitive as possible and, you know, try to shock the NFL world and compete for a playoff spot in 2026, regardless of how unrealistic it might be when you look at the roster, then fine, play him at left guard. I wouldn't make any great pronouncements on Austin Jackson and his status just because he didn't work on Tuesday because he was out there.
Yeah.
If he hadn't been out there, that would be one thing maybe, but he was out there. It didn't look like there was like broken bone or something like that. So.
Well, I'm guessing they talked to doctors. They got a pretty good idea how this thing's going to play out. I agree. They'd love to have him at left guard to start with, playing between Brewer and Patrick Paul, and really put together something that could be real strong on the left side. Hey, the other part is, it looks like, and I feel, is Kyle Lewis, you just feel like every day when we go to practice during the summer, he's going to make a play at practice every day, especially something around the passing game, that they're putting in packages where he can really get after it. You feel that way a little bit?
Yeah. And based on his background at Pitt and then the play he made in the OTA on Tuesday, it just shows somebody who's like ahead of the curve, like not necessarily your typical rookie. And again, I don't want to go crazy over an OTA play, but generally speaking, your rookie comes in like this, like your rookie fourth round pick's going to play it tentatively and all that, and just make sure that, you know, the guy doesn't get behind him and all. And then he just undercut an out route and made it look easy, like he'd been in the league for a long time. So I'm not so sure if he's not the rookie, doesn't make the biggest impact right off the bat.
Yeah, man. I heard that, and I hear how he's moving around and his ability at 6'1", 220 pounds to move and cover and his instincts and blitz packages they haven't even put in for him. And you're like, damn, they're going to find a lot of playing time, especially in second and third and long, where he can really really make a difference with this defense. Hey, I want to ask you about Malik Willis throwing the football. Everybody wants to know. We've heard about his leadership. We've heard about, you know, arm strength and all that. What are your thoughts on what you've seen early on from Malik?
Well, he definitely can spin it, I'll tell you that. That is for sure. And I made that note, like, on social media or in one of my stories, that you watch him throw the ball in the 7-on-7, just throwing routes with the receivers compared to the other three quarterbacks on the roster, and it just does not look the same. I mean, one is like a major league arm, and the other three, as politely as I can say this, are like A-level or rookie ball type arms. Having said that, I'm not totally crazy about the sidearm stuff that he resorts to quite a bit. The accuracy down the field a little bit on Tuesday was spotty, but how much of that was the throw? How much of that was the receiver not being exactly where he's supposed to be, which is going to happen a lot in the early part of the offseason practices. So I wouldn't worry about that, but I mean, yeah, that ball comes out. It definitely got a lot of zip, which we already knew, but to see it in person was pretty cool.
You know, I talked yesterday, somebody, one of my former teammates was out there about it, you know, that's the way he throws it. Everybody's talking about the sidearm thing, and he does like to do that, and he's comfortable doing it, and that they're not going to change that. That's part of what he does with that strong arm, and everybody had talked about that. Hey, Jonah Savianaya, right guard. I know it's early, and nobody's getting after it yet. What do you think this adjustment's going to be like going back to his old position from college, but a position he hadn't played in a year?
I'd be lying to you if I said I had a clue. I mean, cautiously optimistic that it's going to make a difference. And it was very interesting, and I can't remember who it was who said it. Might have been Bobby Slowick talking about how you're doing the player a disservice for moving him from one side where he's familiar to another side in the NFL as a rookie, which maybe is playing a part in Caden Proctor being a left guard and not a right tackle. But now he has a full year at left guard. So now is there a readjustment period to right guard, or is right guard, you know, where he needed to be all along? Is that going to make the difference? Like, who knows? But then again, if we're going to go by what Bobby Slowick said, then who decided to make the switch last year from right guard from the right side to the left side for Jonah? And I can't help but go back. If you remember, they had the situation where the two guys they had playing guard, James Daniels was the other one, who was a veteran who had previous experience playing on the left side, but they decided to keep Daniels on the right side and move Jonah.
Right.
Despite the experience and despite the fact they had played that spot, and it kind of boggles the mind of why would they have done that.
Yeah. Butch Berry? You think Butch had enough pull as with his reputation of being a really good offensive line coach, or you think that came from somebody else?
I'm going to guess it was probably, you know, the movement was led by him more than anybody else.
I agree. Hey, as you look at the receiver core right now, you talked about you got to get open, and you got a lot of guys that, you know, have been threes and fours or getting a chance. They drafted some guys out there. Any feel for what this thing's going to look like? Is it too early on guys' ability to get open and give us a chance in a passing game down the field.
The thing that stands out to me is I just wouldn't sleep on Malik Washington having a big role. I think he's been just kind of easily tossed to the side because look, well, we got these three draft picks. Whenever Chris Bell is ready to play, he's the one who's probably got the highest ceiling. Caleb Douglas is the X factor because the draft experts were projecting him to go fifth round or thereabouts, and he wound up going in the third. Kevin Coleman Jr. is the short guy with the quickness and all that. And then you got the two UFAs they signed. I'm telling you, Malik Washington is tough. He's smart and he's dependable.
Yeah, I'm with you.
That's going to get him a role.
Yeah.
Beyond that. Sorry, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, I'm with you. I just think he's got a little something. I know he wasn't happy about the yards per catch last year and all the short stuff, and he was so good on returns, which he'll continue to do, I expect. He was so good as a return guy, which nobody talks about, but I think he's on a mission to get a bigger role as a wide receiver, and I agree with you to get his yards per catch up and be a bigger part of this passing offense. Hey, running back, why, especially with Achan, and by the way, Achan finally got the contract done. I think it was a great move for all the things the team said, like one of your own gets, and not a guy from the outside coming in gets the extension, but you give it to one of your draft picks, I think is really, really important. Let's start with that and how you felt about that.
No, without question. And again, had they been blown away by a trade offer, then I could have seen the logic in trading him because of the shelf life of the running back position, even though he's only 24 still. But then again, they're going to need good players even now as they start the rebuilding. Because as you said, yes, it's a rebuild. There's no ifs, ands, or buts. It's a rebuild, whatever they call it.
Right.
And the idea, the hope is that they're good and can contend sooner rather than later, maybe as soon as 2027, knock on wood. If not 2028, there's no reason Devon Achane should not still be a stud by then. And he's one of your best players. And they got him at a contract that's not egregious. So, yeah, that to me seemed like a no-brainer right there.
Hey, so I got to ask this because it's out there, and the guys have both been pretty good about this, your center and your middle linebacker in Brewer and Brooks. They get deals done. They must have been told something that they're being really good about this. I mean, they could have done what we saw guys do last year and the year before, the pout and sit out certain. What's going to happen with those two guys? They're both really good players, and they deserve extensions. Is there money for them? Is there enough money to get them happy, to get them re-signed?
Oh, the money will be there once you get to June 2nd. But even with HN, I mean, it's just like the extension kicks in next year, so that doesn't affect necessarily their cap space right now. I would feel very, very confident that both would get extensions, which I think the Dolphins would like to do. However, I was a little bit unnerved by Jordan Brooks' comments when Joe Shad asked him about his confidence level of an extension getting done now that Achane got one, and his answer was it could go either way.
Wow.
Which to me, that was like, whoa, really? Because normally the answer you get more often than not in that situation when it's going to happen is, yeah, I feel good about it. I'm confident. But for him to go, you know, it could go either way. Little strange. And also keep in mind that the salary cap situation basically precludes the Dolphins from trading him before June 1st and when the Bradley Chubb cap money comes in. But after that can be done. So that's still out there. I'm not predicting a trade, but I'm saying it wouldn't shock me if it were to happen.
Hey, you've been out there. I know it's only been a couple days. The rookie free agent that stood out the most that you look at potentially to have the biggest impact or to make the team and maybe have an impact with this team to start with?
Well, our viewing so far has been 20 minutes of the rookie mini camp practice, it was 40 minutes, a lot of which was stretching, and then the the OTA on Tuesday. And I would be lying if I told you that any of the UDFAs caught my eye.
Okay. All right.
I would tell you Mason Reiger is somebody I'd keep an eye on, the edge defender from Wisconsin. I would tell you in a not positive note, Mark Gronowski, the quarterback, beyond the throwing two picks in three passes in the 7-on-7s, just not particularly impressive physically. Yeah. It doesn't look the part, so to speak. So that's what stood out to me.
Alan, thank you, man. I appreciate it. Giving blood and everything in the same day and coming on yapping with me. I really appreciate it, buddy. Thank you.
I'm just a trooper like that. Thanks, Joe.
Alan Poupart, publisher of Miami Dolphins on SI, and of course, All Dolphins Podcast, does a great job. We got a lot more stuff to get to here this morning.
Welcome back in on this Friday morning here on WQAM. Hollywood Omar Kelly, Dan Day along here with you. We're going to head out to the Toyota of Hollywood Hotline. Shop over 2,000 Toyotas on sale, one location, Toyota of Hollywood on 441 between Hollywood and Sheridan, toyotaofhollywood.com. Where we are joined by our friend Chris Perkins from the South Florida Sun Sentinel. Perk, good morning. How you doing, man? Thanks for coming on with us again.
Fellas, thanks for having me. I'm sitting up here writing today's column about the Dolphins wide receivers. Don't expect much from them, but that's okay. This is almost by design.
So you mean they're trying to be notoriously bad and tank Malik Willis's career? Is that what you're saying, Park?
No. What I'm saying is, and what I say in the column is, as Sully said, you can't fix every problem in one offseason. They chose to address quarterback and the trenches. So, yeah, defensive end, cornerback, and wide receiver are going to suffer, but you got to make choices, right? You can't fix it all. So they went quarterback, O-line, D-line. You make choices.
In what way did they go? They drafted three wide receivers, so how did they not fix it in one offseason? Let's start there. They're going to have some cap space. They could go out and they can go sign a Deebo Samuels if you can convince him to come be part of this team. They're not going to do that. Same reason they could sign Rasul Douglas. They're not going to do that. So, and I do believe Sullivan said that about the edge setting and the defense and the defensive line, yet you're saying that they fixed the defensive line, which I call hogwash on, Perk.
They addressed. They chose to address the trenches. We don't know if they fixed quarterback, right?
That was my next challenge, Chris Perk, because I'm not sure they fixed anything.
Well, they've addressed things, Omar. Like, look, first-time GM, first-time head coach, there's going to be mistakes made. They had to make some choices. So you got Caden Proctor, and you did address the wide receiver position, but Caleb Douglas, okay, we'll see what it turns out to be. But Chris Bell, who is the receiver that I like, the third round pick from Louisville, I think this guy might be the steal of the draft. I know people talk about Kyle Lewis, the fourth round linebacker from Pitt. I like Chris Bell. He's a grown man, but of course he's getting over that knee injury. So, I don't think that this isn't a situation where they drafted these wide receivers. And you know what? And I specifically asked Halfley Tuesday, you probably won't have a Tyreek Hill, Justin Jefferson type wide receiver one. Is it okay to have three twos and a three? And he got a little defiant. He said, I don't think you can make that statement. You don't know what our guys are going to be. And I was sitting there going,
Perk, you sound like Jeff Ireland on Hard Knocks, man.
Exactly.
We got fours, fives, and sixes.
I appreciate Halfley's attitude. He's right. Don't put a feeling on his guys. But at the same time, I specifically said Tyreek Hill and Justin Jefferson to draw a distinction between elite wide receiver ones and maybe a Devontae Parker, somebody who was called a wide receiver one because you have to have somebody that you throw the ball to more than anybody else. But I appreciate Halfley's attitude, but my whole thing is, just as you said, Omar, they did get Caleb Douglas, they did get Chris Bell, but this is still going to be one of the worst wide receiver crews in the NFL. It just is, and that's the way it goes. But again, I don't fault them for that. I don't view that as a shortcoming or a flaw in their plan. That's just the way it has to be this year.
Perk out here disrespecting Devontae Parker. That's the only reason I've won my fantasy football league one time, Perk, once in 20 years. And that's because Devontae Parker turned into the best receiver in the NFL for like half a season. Omar's rolling his eyes. He was the best wide receiver for that little stretch. Whatever happened. Yeah, I don't know. Some light went off or something.
He did have one good season in his career.
Half a season. It was like half a season. He like turned it on at some point. He's like, I'm going to be Randy Moss out here. Perk, I got to ask you though, this whole leadership thing, it grinds Joe's gears. We heard Halfley essentially say, hey, let the leadership fall on me for a little bit here. Like, stop worrying about, you know, the quarterback and the players. And it was kind of refreshing to hear a coach step up and take a little ownership.
Yeah, I like what he said there, and I like it because it specifically applied to Malik Willis and people saying, you know, he's got to show leadership and he's got to take charge. And Halfley was like, look, forget all that mess. Go out there, play football, learn the offense. And I agree with Halfley from the standpoint that leadership is organic. You can't say you're the quarterback, you're the leader. You have to earn your teammates' respect. And so that's what Malik will do eventually if he's worthy of it. But you can't just, you know, say, come in here and be our leader. You have to be a guy who is a leader. And so that's what Malik will get to prove as the offseason goes on. But right now, learn the offense. Get everything down. I'll tell you what, also, when I talk about leadership and when I look at leadership, when I look for leadership, part of it is looking at these OTAs and seeing, you know, who are the guys who are first in line? Who are the guys who have the most enthusiasm when they go about this? Who are the guys that you see counseling their teammates or picking everybody up and walking around with energy and that kind of stuff? None of that bias means that you're a leader, but it is a step toward being a leader. So that's one of the things that I looked for on Tuesday. It's one of the things I'll look for on Wednesday when we get to view OTAs.
Yeah, Perk, I loved Tuesday from the opportunity. It was my first chance to get to see Malik Willis throw in person. I have learned my lesson about evaluating quarterbacks without actually seeing them throw in person. I feel like I did the Dolphins fans a disservice, even though that was the COVID year. I remember when I first saw Tua's arm in person at a practice, I was like, what? That's it?
Well, it ends up you were right.
What do you mean I was right?
Well, you said that's it. Like he stinks. Like, yeah, you were right.
I'm going to hang my head in shame.
Those are fighting words, Omar.
No, I mean, I know he's the leader of the fan club, but he was right at the time.
I was not a leader of the fan club. I was a card-carrying member, sir.
You were ahead of your time, Omar.
But, Perk, what were your impressions of Malik Willis's passing throw? I know the offense didn't look all sexy. They threw three interceptions, but what was your impression of Malik?
Liked his arm, very lively arm. That ball got there with purpose on a line with a tight spiral. Saw the 15-yard out. It was good. Saw the 30-yard pass down the field. It was good. And, you know, what I've been saying this week is that what I liked about Malik is I didn't see him make the same mistake twice. You didn't see a lot of disarray. You didn't see a lot of uncertainty. So I think that's really good. Those are good things. So there was one play where he missed somebody badly, and I can't remember if it was a bad throw or if the receiver was in the wrong spot, but that was the only time you saw that on Tuesday. So I think that that's a positive. So, you know, I'm not saying Malik is going to be a Pro Bowl player this year, but I saw on my day one of viewing him, and I expect that that will continue Wednesday. Our day two of viewing Malik, but I, you know, no complaints at all. I'm impressed by what I saw. But again, let's pump our brakes. I'm not saying he's going to be a Pro Bowl selection.
Let me ask you about this, Perk. Dolphin fans got in their feelings when I extrapolated his six starts out to 17 games, and then they said, "Wait a minute. That included his stinky seasons in Tennessee." Just factor in the Green Bay stats. And when I did that, I got 3,400 passing yards. I believe it was 900 rushing yards and 34 touchdowns for a 17-game season. If he comes anywhere close to that, despite the win and loss, will you look at him as a franchise quarterback?
I'll look at him as a good starting quarterback. You know, franchise quarterback takes so many things. You have to be able to make people better around you. And so numbers won't tell us that. His performance will tell us that. But, yeah, if he puts up those numbers, he's a good quality starting quarterback. Could he win you a playoff game? Again, I would need to see how he performed, how he did. Look, most of football is situational, right? How do you do in the fourth quarter? How do you do when, you know, you're as a quarterback, your team is going to need you to make, what, 8 or 10 key plays per game. How does he do in those situations? But if he puts up those numbers you're talking about, they got themselves a good starting quarterback, a quality starting quarterback.
Chris Perkins from the Sun Sentinel here with us. Perk, I think Omar's got one more for you here, and then I got to get your take on some of these NBA games. I do appreciate your NBA knowledge, but Omar's got one more for you. Go ahead, Omar.
I wanted to ask you about Devon Achane. Obviously, he's not healthy enough right now. Looks to me like he put on a little bit of weight, Perk. I don't need you to chime in. I'll take.
Did you get any blowback for that? By the way, we were wondering. Did you get any blowback for that?
I don't care about blowback. I my eyes work. I've been looking at professional athletes for 20 years. Perk, did he look like he was in Devon Achane shape?
He did, you know, but he was wearing you know the jersey and he looked like he was in good shape to me. Maybe he might have put on 3 or 4 pounds, but I don't think he put on like 10 pounds or 12 pounds or anything like that.
Yeah. Anyway, with this offense,
I mean, what are we talking here? Does he look like James Harden? Like what are you seeing out there?
I thought he looked fine. I thought he looked fine.
You thought he looked fine. Did he look like he was in shape?
Omar has his, Omar had his scale.
Did he look
out,
like he was in he shape?
He had his scale with him, apparently.
Yeah, he did, Omar. Yes. He looked like he was in shape.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Definitively 100% yes.
Oh, okay. Now that.
Do you have a follow up to that?
There is no Tyreek Hill.
There
is no Jalen Waddle. There is a mammoth left side of the offensive line, but he's going to face a lot of 8-man in the box. Do you think the expectation and the bar changes because the salary changes?
No. To me, most of this is on Heffley and Bobby Slowick. How do you choose to use Achane? You know his talent. You know his body. 191 pound running back in the NFL, your lifespan is not the Derrick Henry lifespan, right? It's limited, so you have to choose carefully how you use him, how many touches he gets. So the expectation for me doesn't change. You know, we asked Achane last season what he expected, and he said, I always am going to have 1,000 yards rushing and then maybe 500 yards receiving. Okay, that's fine. Last year it was, what, 1,350 and 488 receiving, something like that? Yeah, that's kind of the neighborhood. Well, okay, that's kind of the neighborhood where he should live. So the numbers don't change. To me, it's on Slowick and Hathley. How do you use them? What situations? How many touches do you take off of him? How much do you use the tight end, Greg Dulcich? How much do you use the other receivers? How much do you use Jalen Wright and Ollie Gordon, the backup running backs? You've got to preserve Devon Achane. His talent is there, but I don't know how long that talent is going to stay at this level. Again, 191-pound running backs in the NFL, you're probably not going to be around for, you know, 8 strong years. You might have an 8-year career, but maybe 4 or 5 of them are top level and the others are kind of, hang on. So let's see how he's used, but the numbers stay the same. The expectations stay the same.